Nail or beauty school was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, social media, and at the very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, Penny here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I'm joined again by Bailey.
Hi.
And Erin.
Hi.
And we're going to go through talking about types of businesses, going back to basics in relation to our Salon Success course.
And just a reminder before we get started to use my code Bailey for 10% off all courses. I get a kickback from these enrollments, and they're how we support the production of the podcast.
And Erin, I think you have an affiliate code too, right?
Yep, little moon nails, no spaces.
Little moon
no,
nails.
Sorry, little moon. No nails.
Little moon. Yeah. Okay. That would have been a real easy way for Bailey to win the affiliate war is by you just giving the wrong code.
Yeah.
So before we get stuck into today's new topic, let's revisit last one. Bailey, what were we talking about last week?
So last week we were talking about the algorithm and how it actually doesn't suck. So on episode 4, Erin, we were talking about how the algorithm is actually helping us. So I think a lot of people get it really twisted around what the algorithm is and isn't doing. So last week we covered what the algorithm actually is doing and how it's actually working in our favor.
That's an interesting topic because I'm not that knowledgeable on that stuff. So I'm always keen to hear about how it works more.
Yeah, and neither was I and neither was Mel. So it was a really, really interesting topic for us to like deep dive in with Penny.
Whereas I just nerd out on it because I think it's so fun.
I love that though.
Bailey, do you want to hit us with like one quick fact from the last episode that might entice people to go back and listen to it?
It was actually one of your fun facts about YouTube, and can't recall the exact number, but it was something around like 5 million hours of video content is uploaded to YouTube daily.
Wow.
So when you think about how you're not necessarily getting the engagement you might want, just like think about the quantity of content that is out there online. It's just ridiculous.
That's insane.
I know, well, right? Like just mental.
So fun though. I know it's just me, but like it's so fun. And onto something, well, I mean, like I was gonna say less fun, but I shouldn't sell it short because what we're talking about today is like setting up businesses, and that's pretty exciting and daunting. But something that we get asked a lot is like, what do I do? How do I be? What do I choose? And here in New Zealand, I don't know how many people we've got listening overseas. I know we've got a few, but here in New Zealand, we've got three main options for setting up a business, being either a sole trader, a partnership, or a limited liability company. I know that in this room, so to speak, on this podcast, we have a slight variety amongst what we are, but I'm going to say let's hold back on revealing what we are. We'll run through the differences, go over like some pros and cons and opinions on them, and then at the end be like, okay, this is what I am and whether or not I still think I'm the right thing. How's that sound, ladies?
Yeah, good.
All right. So like chances are that when someone starts, so if you're listening to this podcast as a newbie, chances are for now at least you're going to be a sole trader. Sole trader is someone who starts a business by themselves, doesn't register it as a company. It's perfectly legal. It's completely free. It's super easy. If I do nothing but open a bank account in the name of my business, I am now a sole trader. Done. Easy. It's the quickest option. You can go to the bank right now. You can be a business by the end of the day, especially if you go back and listen to episode 1 about picking a name finally and not delaying that anymore. Because I know there's a statistical high chance that you listening to this right now dilly dallied on your name. I'm only using the bank as an example because it's something that you probably should do in best practice. But I did operate as a sole trader my first ever year after graduating simply by opening another suffix on my personal internet banking. I went
Yeah,
nowhere. I did my own
true.
taxes. Like, I just was a sole trader. Is that what you did, Erin?
Yeah, it's pretty much, and spent a ridiculous amount of time trying to think of a good name, which was kind of just like didn't really matter.
Yep. You're preaching to the choir in this room. There's like no registration fees to be a sole trader. Like, you just are one, and you can hire staff, you can do everything. You have to register with IRD as an employer, but like that's because you have obligations to pay like ACC and tax and that kind of thing. But like, you still don't have to actually be anything but a sole trader.
It's probably definitely the easiest way to go in terms of deciding which model you want to work with.
Initial startup,
Yeah,
just
yeah.
straightforward, hey?
Mm.
Whatever gets people started faster, because we all know that with the bravery levels in doing new things, especially without the naivety of being straight out of high school, we will often look for any excuse to not do the scary thing. So sole trade is pretty good for being like, well, you already are one.
Yeah, exactly.
You literally need to do nothing. You are one.
Yeah, just gotta pay tax.
Well, but even that you don't have to do till next year.
Yeah, well, that's true too. And then it's
So,
like,
like,
well,
should be
if you're as
equivalent.
unorganized as I was, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? It's like gigantic mess, but I got there in the end.
Yeah.
I
One of
didn't
the
listen to Sell on Success straight away, though. So there we go.
Well, so if you're here now and you're listening to Sell on Success, 10 points for being a step ahead.
Exactly.
Or they could do what Pat did and go to the complete other extreme and just binge it all in road trips.
Yeah. She's
But then,
amazing
like,
sometimes,
bonus
though.
10 points for like signing up to the actual module.
Yes.
The podcasts are great, but the modules,
Yeah, well, I
so
mean,
much
at the end
valuable
of the
content.
day, this is a taster for the real deal. Sticking with sole traders, if you are a sole trader, you are in complete control, and therefore all the profit is yours. If you make a loss, like if you spend more than you make, you can offset against other income. You pay tax on all of the income that you earn, but you can claim work expenses to reduce that. So, it isn't all roses. You're still liable for all debts. So with a limited liability company, any debts and stuff are to the company. This is all on you, baby. But your house, car, other assets, like they all get like weighed against any debts that you get. So there's like kind of the downside for a sole trader. If you are a limited liability company and you go into debt, like trying to get a loan to build your business, stuff like that, it's against the company and your personal assets aren't necessarily affected. But I mean, like, that would only be if you're trying to do big things and require big money, which you might be, but like it also might not be something that affects you at all.
I guess, and for me, I was just like, well, it's only going to be me. So, sole trader was just, yeah, like we said earlier, just the easiest direct thing to just go and get started.
I think as well, like even if you start out as a sole trader, you can decide to register as a limited liability company at any time. Like you can just start now, be a sole trader, and then like in a couple of months' time when you've got your head around everything, change. Like there's no, yeah. And I should
Not
also
set in
pref
stone.
yeah, it's not set in stone. You can change. I should also preface and say, like, we're only telling you the pros and cons of each thing. We are not recommending one specifically. You make the decision yourself. If you need advice, speak to like the powers that be, not us, because we have no powers. But We're just telling you the pros and cons that we know of, kind of thing.
I mean, I'm not sure what pros and cons are of the other things. I just know that sole traders worked really well for me personally, so, and still does. So also because I can sort of like do multiple different things, it doesn't necessarily have to be just my nail work either. I can, yeah, so I can still invoice from Little Moon Nails, but it could be 2 hours of cleaning somewhere or gardening or whatever. It doesn't really, I mean, it can change your ACC levy thing, but yeah, as long as your accountant is aware of all that, it works fine.
I think it like reduces the barrier to entry as well for a lot of people, because I think when you look at chances are like a partnership's less likely, but if you're looking at a limited liability company, that it appears to have a higher barrier to entry for some people, and that can be really off-putting when you're first looking to start your business. So by having, the option in New Zealand with sole traders, it just reduces that barrier to entry for people. It makes it a lot more attainable to go out on your own and start your own business.
Just to have the all the pros of working for yourself, the flexibility and that kind of stuff. Especially quite often, like a lot of mums end up doing that because it works around, they can work around their children and stuff, you know. I know that it's definitely been better for me anyway. My daughter's older now, but when she was a bit younger, it was real good. Just being able to be like, actually, I don't want to put any work in that hour of my day, you know?
So then let's explore one of the alternatives. This one I think is honestly the least likely to get chosen in our industry specifically, but we'll talk about partnerships just because we'll cover all bases. But a partnership is when two or more people form a business together. It might be what you do. I just think it's the least likely. Those two people create a document called a partnership agreement that outlines how they share profits, debts, workload, like everything gets split in this agreement. It isn't always 50-50. If the business idea was that of one partner, you might find them getting 60% of the profit for 40% of the work, because that reflects the use of their idea or their intellectual property. So like it's really all nutted out in an agreement before. You see these kinds of arrangements often with like architects, lawyers, accountants. It's just pretty rare in our industry. The bright side of a partnership would be that the workload of running the business is shared, and so are the costs associated with it. Lots of people would specialize in their own strengths. So you might see this scenario where, like, you have one person that's running the business and one person that's like running the salon kind of thing. Like, it might pop up. But having two people, it's easier to raise capital to get money to help build the business. If you make a loss, you have the income of both or all partners to offset it. But also in this scenario, your personal assets are still at the mercy of the business. So each partner is liable for all of the debt of the partnership. So if the business goes under and you're the only one with assets, you cover everything. That's like the biggest risk with a partnership. But of course, like if you both have assets, then you are there's a lower risk kind of in there. Like I would say with a partnership, it could be quite nice to have someone to bounce ideas off who is actually invested in the outcome of the business, because sometimes you bounce ideas, but like it's just between friends or whatever. But also, it can really mess up a friendship. So you've got like to be extremely clear on the goals of the business, how you're going to achieve them right from the start, not to reinforce any like stereotypes or like be unfeminist. But I would say that a lot of the reason that partnerships form in those industries we listed that are or were very stereotypically male-driven industries are because men are stereotypically very much more like cutthroat business dudes than women who like will be more emotional, not in a bad way, but like take into
It's just
account all.
biology. Like, women are typically the more emotive of the two genders, and that's just how our brains are wired, like biologically.
And to make a partnership work, you have to be pretty ruthless on like, well, actually, this is the outcome. It's business. This is how it has to happen. Because otherwise, you really are like at the mercy of the other person in a lot of ways. It's also not as easy to change because, like, if you want to change the type of business that you run, you have to dissolve the partnership. And then that means like legally releasing the partners and then reestablishing as either sole trader or limited liability. So that is makes it a slightly harder decision. Like it has that obstacle there, I guess. Hiring staff's all the same, but the tax side is different because a partnership doesn't pay tax as a business. It divides the income amongst partners, and then each partner pays tax on like their share. So that's slightly more, I guess, complicated,
So
not
it's
super
almost like
complicated.
sole traders combined, as opposed to being a limited liability with multiple owners.
It's still very personal, you know?
Like the whole the individuals paying their own sort of taxes on sounds kind of like a pro to that model, you know? In comparison to I'm not sure if is it different with limited liability?
26%, right?
Yeah, we'll go over the
Okay.
limited in a second, but like I think partnership for me and my personality would be the most dangerous because I know that I get emotions involved and it's more just like getting excited, like overexcited about a new idea or letting a bad situation go a little bit too long because I don't want to upset someone or deal with conflict. Like, those are my character flaws. I own them,
Same.
but they definitely would not go well with a partnership.
And I think it comes down to as well, like, who that other partner is. Because, like, I know for me personally, I have no issues. Like, I'm not out here trying to start fights, but I don't have issues with conflicts. I get told quite a lot that I could stand to be a little bit more emotional sometimes, and that I can just be very, like, logical brained only when making certain decisions and don't really take those emotive things into account. And so if you've got a partner in the partnership who's the opposite of you, it could be a good thing because they could bring that balance, or it could be a bad thing where you just butt heads a lot because you look at things in very, very different ways. So making those business decisions could become quite frustrating and difficult for everyone involved.
And like, I think a big danger, like, this could work if you're wanting to build your business, but if the other partner knows things are going bad and they sell off assets and leave you being the only one holding assets, you're kind of screwed and you can't really have stopped them doing that.
Yeah, obviously, like, literally just a girl who like sieves rocks and does nails, but in terms of like the legal side of that, it would probably be an intelligent thing to do to look in putting your assets and stuff in a trust potentially to help alleviate some of that risk involved
Yeah,
with a
I don't know
partnership.
how that side of things works with partnership, to be honest.
Because I would assume it'd be similar to like if you're a sole trader and like for instance your house was in a trust. Like, even if you find yourself belly up, like your house can't be touched because it's not yours as such. It's the trust's house, if that makes sense. But yeah, not legal advice, just like a thought around protecting yourself in terms of risk if a partnership was something you were maybe looking into. But obviously that would be something you would cover with a solicitor going through a partnership agreement anyway.
It would really if you were going to do something like that, you'd want someone with a good moral compass as well, I
But
think.
then money changes everything.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
does.
Before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about some of our smaller Salon Success modules. So we have our big fat Salon Success course that includes absolutely everything all under one umbrella, but you can also get small individual modules that make that up for only $15. Super easy, super quick. Lots of them can be done in one afternoon or across a weekend, and the investment is not super crazy. Even if you don't have $15, we can save you $1.50 by giving you 10% off with one of our affiliate codes. Bailey, can you remind us what yours was?
My code is Bailey.
And Erin, what was your code?
Little moon.
Save that $1.50. Go get a bag of lollies to sit with while you work through your miniature Salon Success workshop. And you can find them going onto our website, monaco.ac.nz, going into the top level menu and straight towards the business and marketing category. They're really easy to find. But that's where some of this sort of stuff is, getting set up, little bits and pieces to get you on the right track with your new business. So then, I think that if you're not a sole trader, you are most likely to go limited liability. A limited liability company is a separate legal entity used to carry on business. So, the term limited liability doesn't actually relate to the business, but to the shareholders. The company is liable for all its obligations and debts, but the shareholders, the people who own it, the us, are only liable for money owing on their shares. So I'll break it down because it gets a little bit more like businessy, and not to underestimate anybody, but some of us are coming from completely different industries and things into this self-employment game. So I am going to break it down, skip ahead, but don't listen to the whole thing, but skip ahead if this part isn't relevant to you. But all companies have to have a name, which is reserved with the registrar of companies through the company's office. It's really easy to do. You just go to RealMe, which is the government website that most New Zealanders will be familiar with. When you're logged in, you check the business name you want is available, reserve the name, and then incorporate the company. Super, super easy to do. You can even, I'm pretty sure it still works that if you Google company's office, start our company, I'm pretty sure it'll come like straight up. When you register a company, it will automatically get an NZBN, which is a New Zealand business number. You also get one of those as a sole trader, but this happens automatically when you register as a company. You use it pretty often. I don't know about you guys, Bailey and Erin, but I feel like I need my NZBN a lot more often than I thought I would. When registering your company, you have to choose to have at least one share, one shareholder, and one director. They can all be you. For example, for a very long time, Monaco had one share. I was the sole shareholder, meaning I owned that one share. And because there was only one, I by proxy owned 100% of the company. I was, and I still am, the sole director, meaning the director obligations that we'll talk about soon fall in my lap. The difference between shareholders and directors is basically that the shareholders own the company while the director is legally obligated to operate it in a certain manner. The shareholders, the owners, have no obligation to monitor how the company is run. They might not even know, even though since it's their money, they probably should. The director might not own any part of the company. The director could, but they might just be a director. There can be more than one shareholder, there can be more than one director, meaning more than one person might own the business and more than one person might be legally responsible for running it correctly.
Like
But
a board of
so,
directors.
yeah, if you go like way down that rabbit hole, like a board of directors. Years ago, in order to grow Monaco, sold 10% of it. So what I did is I split one share into 1,000 pieces and sold 100 of those to a second party for an agreed sum of money. So I now own 900 pieces or shares of Monaco, and the second party owns 100 pieces or shares of Monaco. So I have 90%, they have 10%. We could have chosen any number. 1,000 was recommended to me because rather than 10, where I would have one and they would have, I would have nine and they would have one, there's more options with 1,000 to like split further if you ever wanted to. So even the other person could, instead of having one out of 10 shares, they have 100 and could, in theory, sell 50 of those kind of thing, if that makes sense. We just wanted to have more options at a later date. So we have a name, we have one or more shares, we have one or more shareholders, and one or more directors. And a registered or limited liability company also needs a registered office where the company records are kept. This is your house. If you are our target market, this is your house. It's your address, and it's just a formal address that, a formal agreement, sorry, that your address is where any paperwork will be. Is this making sense so far, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm just very engrossed in like listening to
Oh,
Me too.
that's so nice because here I was thinking you might be, I might be lulling you into a nap.
No, like this is, I think, obviously, still a lot more information about limited liabilities, but that as little bits sort of pop up, you can see where even if you still plan on just being the one person, that it could be what you may want to transition to from a sole trader down the track.
Yeah, for
Yeah, if
sure.
you get an opportunity where someone wants to like be involved but not have sort of like anything to do with it, then you could change to limited liability and do what you've done, Penny, you
Yeah.
know.
Like the person that owns 10%. It was a case of I had an opportunity to grow the wholesale side of the business and I had no money to do it with. And they were like, hey, I love what you do. I have some spare money, wouldn't that be nice, that I would like to help you with. And I said, cool, great. I'm happy to get something drawn up, borrow that money from you, and pay it back. And they said, I don't want that. That doesn't feel good to me. I don't want you to owe me money and to be paying it back. Would you consider separating off a piece of the business? And then we never have to think about it again. But if you sell the business, I'll get my money back, kind of thing. And at first, I thought that that person would be way more involved in the business. As it is, I forget until it comes up in conversation that I don't own all of it because that person does not involve themselves in anything. For a really long time, I would keep them updated and they would just never reply. And it just turns out that we're just different types of people. I would want to be involved. They didn't. They just wanted an investment. They had money burning a hole in their pocket and they wanted to help out. And
They
so,
knew
yeah.
you, they trusted what you were doing. They didn't feel like they had to be hands-on because the reason they made the decision to invest was because, like you said, they like what you were doing. They saw what you were doing and went, this is great. You handle it. You're
Pretty
doing a good
much.
job.
It sounds ideal, really. Like, you know, someone that just wants to give you some money, really, in a way,
Yeah.
or
And I
give
mean,
the
like,
business some money.
it's still theirs. It's just not like they never ask for any information about the business. Like, I don't know, it's very interesting, but it is what they wanted and it worked for me and that's what we did. So you when you're setting up the limited liability company, you have that address for service which we talked about, sorry, not the address, the registered office. Then you have an address for service. Again, it's just your address, but this time it's a place that legal documents can be served if ever needed. And then you need an address for communication. Again, you put your address, but this time it's for the purpose of sending you things. They just make you write it 3 times. When you registered, you have obligations as a company. They sound scary. None of them are too scary. So, for example, one of your obligations are that you must file an annual return with the company's office and the IRD. Sounds daunting. What if I forget? Will I get in trouble? No. They send me a text message and an email once a year with lots of notice. Then they send me a text message and an email to remind me. You click a link. You literally just green tick all your stuff that hasn't changed, pay something like around $45, and it's done. Like, it's not scary. Yes, it's an obligation, but like, they really make it easy to do a good job.
They're not out here trying to make your life difficult.
Yeah, they're really not. Like, it's, there's lots, there's, with an arrangement like this, there starts to be some quote unquote bigger words, like more legal mumbo jumbo that isn't super high level, but it's just different to what lots of us deal with until this moment. But they want you to win.
You keep winning, you keep paying your taxes. They keep
Exactly.
winning.
If this whole thing, listeners, is sounding like something you might want to do, I just want to quickly take the opportunity to highly recommend that you speak to a lawyer who specializes in small business and discuss your obligations as a director and get their advice, because that is, again, not us, not what we do. We are just telling you essentially easily Googleable information, but in a digestible format, and then telling you our experiences. We are not giving advice. The limited liability part of this whole shenanigan is generally the big draw card of doing it, because shareholders are only responsible for paying the company's debts up to the value of their shares, but there are other like perks to that. So companies have a lower tax rate than the top personal rates. You might end up paying less tax, but again, talk to the lawyers and accountants before you personally choose this, because it's always dependent on things. You can be taken more seriously in business and have easier access to financial assistance and investments. If you ever decide to sell your business, it is much easier to sell a company than any of the other options. The business can grow infinite amounts. Like Bailey said, you could end up with a board of directors voting on decisions and a staff of hundreds, all from a startup in your spare room. The downside, I would say, is the paperwork. Like, you really need to understand your obligations and stick to them, because there are some serious repercussions for not doing so. And again, that's why we say talk to lawyers and accountants for advice before making a decision. Hiring staff is exactly the same with a company as with a sole trader or a partnership, but taxes are again different. A company pays tax on profit only, so that's any money left over after taking away expenses. If a company's expenses are more than its income, it makes a loss and might not have to pay tax. If the company distributes profit to its shareholders, shareholders pay their own tax on those. It's again not as complicated as it sounds. Like, I can choose as the director of Monaco to take a salary on the payroll like anyone else, or I can choose to draw money out at any time. And that gets marked in our accounting software as shareholder drawings. And then the accountant sorts all the other stuff. Once there's more than one shareholder, it's slightly more complicated. But like, that's the general idea. Like, there's not too much more to it.
Yeah, it would pro rather than a partnership, it would probably be, if you were going from a sole trader, limited liability would probably be your preferable option, I would think.
Yeah, like even if you
Well,
were wanting to have like a shared sell-on situation with somebody, where maybe you thought, oh, partnership, because it would be great to have someone else to like bounce ideas off of or also be invested in the business, that you have the option of having more than one shareholder in a limited liability, and it just kind of doesn't have so many of those potential tensions that a partnership could have.
Yeah, it could almost be more even. Like, you could even do, like, it could sound similar to a partnership, but you could just be more even. Like, I don't know the words to just quite describe what I'm trying to say,
I
but
feel like it's a less emotional way of doing things.
yeah.
So you guys are both currently sole traders, right? So in the interest of like the conversation side of the podcast, in either of your lives, can you imagine a scenario where like partnership or limited liability would become a preferable option?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like in my situation where I have, obviously, I do like mentoring for Monaco and I'm doing clients in terms of nails, that a sole trader for me right now is the simplest and still like the best option for me. But then, like, I have my partner who's right into his photography, does some amazing work, and we've just started getting him set up like with his very expensive fine art printer and like all of that kind of stuff, where for us down the track, having a company which is responsible for like my nail stuff, the printing stuff, his photography stuff, sort of overseeing all of that, and he and I taking a salary from a company would make a lot more sense than both of us operating as separate sole traders in terms of being able to reinvest in the business, because obviously, like tax reasons, compared to, paying, what are we up to, like 33%? Is that our top personal tax bracket at the moment? Whereas I believe like a company pays 26%, I believe, off the top of my
I
head, I
believe I
think
have an
ish.
accountant.
I think it's like 26 or 28% anyway, but it's less than 33%. Which doesn't seem like a huge difference, but it doesn't take you that large of an income to get up into that 33%. So that I think down the track, if that's something that we could be like looking into together. But in terms of initial startup, keeping things easy when you first get going, sole trader just works really well for both of us right now.
I don't have any plans to change mine or even thought about it. At work, sole trader works fine for me now. And I probably would wait until my daughter's sort of off doing her own thing before I even thought about changing my situation too much, you know. It's just my where I stand at the moment. And my situation at the moment, I'm contracted myself out to someone else, and I feel like I'm learning heaps from that, so that in the future I'll be able to use that information and knowledge to help me with whatever I do further down the track. And yeah, so
I
for
think
sure.
the main time that limited liability, like if I imagine a sell-on journey, the main time I would imagine that it becomes more important is if you do start taking out debts to grow the business. So if you wanted to go from a home sell-on to like something like what Jess has, like a cooperative with a proper like a bigger venue, and you've got setup costs, like not saying that she did, but like if you wanted to do like a bigger salon with multiple desks and you need setup costs and you need to take a loan out for that, then you would take the responsibility of that debt and move it into a limited liability company, like after talking to a lawyer and accountant for professional advice. But I think that like it's when you really start to have the level of like debt or growth that could drastically affect your personal life, that you then go, maybe I'm going to make it the responsibility of a company. What are your guys' sort of final thoughts on this whole concept? Or is there anything that you learned that that surprised you?
I wasn't surprised, but it was interesting to know that with like partnership, that the, you know, like just you talking about how the other person could be selling off their assets. If, you know, like that was just like, wow. You know, you don't think about these kinds of things when you don't have the knowledge on. Yeah, it's just like, so it's good to know exactly what you're getting into. Because, you know, you could just screw yourself over, couldn't you, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
similar to you, Erin, how like I still recall going through it, but I didn't really retain a lot from when I went through the partnership section of this when I was doing sell and success modules because it wasn't really relevant to me. But I think
Yeah.
it is still good to sort of revise on that to know what those other options are, regardless of if they fit you. It's just good to know, like, the decision that you've made is the right decision for you because you're aware of what the other options are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was like that too. Like I absorbed the information and only retained what was relevant to me as well. So it's good to sort of refresh every now and again and make sure that you are in the right spot as you move and grow and do
Story of our
studying.
lives, really, eh? Like, go through everything,
Yeah.
retain what you need, push everything else out to make
Yeah.
room.
Yeah.
There's only so much like brain estate for knowledge to be stored in, so
Yep, exactly.
but it can feel
Actually,
good
just makes me
to.
think about last night when I was doing the study group with the theory students. I was like, I really need to keep revising more often, like just refreshing, because there were heaps of things I was like, I know the answer to this. Where in my brain is it stored? Because it's not coming out. But you guys
Absolutely.
seem
Like,
to
if you
do
haven't
pretty.
pulled it out for a while, right?
You
Yeah,
guys seem to do pretty good, though, as a team. I saw your score come through.
we did. So we kind of, just to touch quickly, we sort of all talked about the question, tried to do it as quickly as possible because the timer was running out. But, and tried to make a collective decision on what was the best answer. So,
Fun.
yeah.
I kind of want to
Yeah.
do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it
And
was cool.
just before we wrap up, I just want to take a quick minute to remind you all about our smaller sell on success modules, the $15 options that all bulk up to make our bigger sell on success course. You can go to our website, monaco.ac.nz, and head to the business and marketing section in the top level menu to get into all of those modules. That's where a lot of this sort of setup stuff is hiding. And the mentors affiliate codes mentioned earlier in the podcast episode can get you 10% off any of those or our larger modules as well. With that done and dusted, before you disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. What are we doing next episode, Bailey?
Oh, great question. So, episode 6, we're going to be talking about supplying drinks to your clients.
Sounds simple, but I really like this one. I'm very excited for this one.
Looking forward to it.
So that'll be up for you guys next week. Until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monaco Nail Academy or follow our salons. Mine is Hard Lacquer NZ. Bailey, yours is.
Mine is Bailey Janet Nails.
And Erin.
Mine is Little Moon.
And have a great week, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.